This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where, look, we're going to talk about the Giants because they're next up, but also Corey said, did you see the Brett Favre thing like 5 seconds before we went on air? Is he, I don't want to say back in trouble with the law because I feel like that never really left. Is he further in trouble with the law?
From Front Office Sports.
Oh, dear.
Brett Favre says he was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Oh, well,
including
that went in a different direction than I thought.
He included that in his testimony at a congressional hearing on federal welfare reform today. So,
okay.
And sorry, that was very difficult for me to read and say at the same time. But so he says, I got Parkinson's. And he says it in a moment where he's at a testimony. So
this is the classic scenario of two things can be true. That is terribly,
he broke the law.
Terribly sad for Brett Favre that he has Parkinson's. You hate to hear that for anybody. And you also shouldn't break the law and steal from people.
That's the both things can be true.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think that's fair. All right. Well, that sucks. I know that really, really does suck. I bet we have a lot of people in our audience right now who have a family member. Maybe they've been directly impacted by that. So hope that he'll get better, but like that they can find good treatment to keep it as manageable as possible. Now, can you give me cut number 5? Because we need to talk about those New York Giants.
Now Robinson in motion left. First and goal at the 5. Jones back, looks, fires it into the end zone. Touchdown, Neighbors, on the skinny post. Jones looked left all the way. Snap back, Neighbors on the skinny post.
All right. I understand a logical game plan going up against the Cowboys would be, let's just run the ball. I appreciate that. I really do. But when you have Malik Neighbors already,
throw the ball.
Yeah, don't you just look at, regardless of what the matchup is, you're like, I think we can figure it out. Let's just throw the ball up to him and see what happens.
I think you run the ball to set up the big play to Malik Neighbors. And yes, dude, the guy, when I was watching him, Kevin, he was the second receiver for me behind Marvin Harrison Jr. And I could argue definitely that I would like him just as much. I think, as a matter of fact, I told you multiple times.
Yes.
This Malik Neighbors kid might be the best one in the thing if it wasn't for Harrison Jr. Because I thought Harrison Jr. was pro ready. Malik Neighbors just has so many dynamic abilities. You run to set it up. Because you're going to get most of your productive yards attempting to run against this Dallas Cowboys defense. Now, the question on that is, can the Giants run successfully like the last two teams have? Like, are they capable of being that type of running team? Devin Singletary is very good.
Yes.
And they have a couple of different backs that they can work with there that they can utilize to go out there and run against the Cowboys. But can they produce the way that the Saints did and produce the way things went last week with Baltimore? I don't know. But you're running to set up the big play to Malik Neighbors. And that's where the Cowboys secondary has to be very present and understanding of, look, at some point it's going to happen. We can't just blindly go down there and crash.
I'm not here to argue that Daniel Jones is taking off in the world, but maybe that Trevor Lawrence deal is going to look worse than his is. Daniel Jones in his last two games, 4 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions.
Okay.
Don't worry about what happened in the first
game. Hold on. Daniel Jones in his last two games, 0 interceptions.
Correct.
Daniel Jones' off-target rate is 21%. So 21% of the time, he is off-target for the throw that he's trying
to
make.
Not so off-target it goes to the other team.
Or so off-target that it doesn't go to either one of them.
You know, you make a fair counterpoint, and I probably can't dismiss
his that. Adjusted completion rate is 71.4%, which is 27th in the league. So he's the worst, dude.
But no, you said 27th, not the worst. He's one of the worst
in the NFC East.
But that's the thing. having an elite wide receiver, or what looks like the makings of an elite wide receiver, will really help make your life easier, right?
Yes.
Because Malik Nabers, he became the first player in NFL history with 20-plus receptions, 250-plus receiving yards, and 3-plus receiving touchdowns in his first three career games. Now, we already talked about how he'd broken Mike Evans' record for being the youngest to get multiple touchdowns in a game. Now you see that at least through the first three games, Malik Nabers is having a historic start to his NFL career.
Oh, yeah, man. Again, I can't say any more about him because, I mean, you'll see it. You'll see the speed, the dynamic athleticism, his ability to grab the ball out of the air. You know, there are guys that let the ball come to them and guys that snatch the ball out of the air. He's one of those. However, Kevin, when we're talking about the numbers for Daniel Jones, the Cowboys have allowed just 55.8% completion rate to wide receivers this season. That's third best.
Okay. Is that because teams are like, we do not need
Nobody
to throw the
to
ball,
really throw the ball against
more than
Cowboys.
15 times against the Cowboys? So
yeah, pretty much.
That's what I'm concerned about defensively, or I guess offensively for the Cowboys. Here's what I'm concerned about. And you can preface all this by saying it was against the Browns, and I understand that. But Cleveland had 217 net offensive yards against the Giants. That is the fewest yards given up in the tenure of Brian Daboll as head coach of the Giants. And then there's this, as there continues to be concerns about the offensive line. The Giants had 8 sacks against the Browns. That's their highest total in 10 years. And you look at the breakdown from Dexter Lawrence. Obviously, we'll talk more about him in just a second. But Burns, Ojulari, Pinnock all got in there. Thibodeau even got half a sack. But it was distributed among 9 different players who were not only getting pressures, but they were getting at least a partial sack on the quarterback. That feels alarming as we continue to have questions about the new look offensive line.
You did mention, though, to preface that, that the Cowboys also had their most pressures the whole season
against
Cleveland. So I will say
Cleveland's terrible.
Cleveland's bad. The Cowboys haven't looked good the last 2 weeks. However, Dak was able to create that fourth quarter comeback because he had just enough time to get some passes off. So I think that the Giants will try to attack Dak. They will try to get to him multiple times throughout the game. I was a little, if you've gone back and watched the offensive line a little bit, I was a little more pleased with Guyton than I thought. There were still some errors. But I was a little more pleased with some things that I needed to see him progress at, and he has. So I'm okay with a couple things. He is, I think, when Mike McCarthy says it, when Jerry says it, when Steven says it, they are right. There are areas of this team that are still a work in progress. Dak and CD's connection is a work in progress that was screwed over. The offensive line is a work in progress because they have to grow up and be better together. Seeing Tyler and Zach Martin go down a little bit was not something that I expected, but I do think that they can keep it together against this Giants defensive front.
It's going to be a really weird world where Zach Martin is just like a good player and not an ass-kicking machine player.
And then what do you do? Because I know money-wise, you've got that all figured out. But
they're in trouble.
But replacing that is not easy. I mean, just look, they've been trying to replace Travis Frederick for a while now.
Yes, that is that's a great point. And look, we talked a lot about salary cap yesterday in general. We talked about it some with Steven Jones. Here's my concern, the way you're going to look at it, Corey. If you're like, hey, how are you going to replace Zach Martin? Well, if he retires, then you not only have to replace him, I think the hit's like $17 million that he still hits up against your cap.
So you're going to have to replace him cheap?
Yeah.
And draft a guard? I'm or maybe sure TJ Bass is ready to replace him.
I mean, that might be the direction that it goes. Now, a potential advantage for the Cowboys, I know we just talked about the concern about the connection between CeeDee and Dak thus far, but the Giants have had some issues in their secondary from an injury point of view. So Drew Phillips left early in that game against Cleveland. Jackson left late in the first half. So they had to use they had to use, I think it's Cordell Flott. Sorry if it's Float. My apologies for not double checking that. He moved from the slot over to corner, and then they took somebody who got some snaps in the defensive backfield that they moved him up from the practice squad the day before. So, like, the Giants were having to shuffle, and with the quick turnaround, you kind of wonder how sort of hobbled they still might be in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, Nick McCloud trying to figure out where he is in this place too. Yeah, okay, then take advantage of that.
I'm with you.
If Tom Brady said last week was a Dak game, then this needs to be a Dak game.
Does it need to be a CD game too?
It needs to be a CD game. And I agree with Sean from this morning a lot on this. Why, and Bobby and RJ were on this as well. They got to find another receiver. Like the Brandon Cooks at this point is a good number three deep threat for you.
Yeah.
If you can get him open. But the in today's game, the way defenses are like, we're not playing single high. We're playing two high safeties. We're just committing to this. It's tough to get Brandon Cooks open in that way. So you got to find another person. We'll discuss that more, I believe, at 12:20 today. But yeah, man, you got to find that person to be able to help this out if you really want to take advantage of CD, because you look at how many times CD was bracketed and double covered and all that. It's going to happen if you have no other weapons to draw that away from him.
And so then the question comes up, how many yards are the Giants going to run for against the Cowboys? I guess good news, but this kind of might be like the
212.
Oh my God. Then you're,
because Daniel Jones is running for 40
that game,
right? Daniel Jones is running for 40, 45.
I could see that. Don't you think if you give up 212 yards rushing, you are going to lose the game?
If you play offensively the way that you have, yes.
Okay. So the Giants are slightly below average team-wise in terms of rushing this season. Now, unfortunately, the Cowboys are way, way below average, sitting at 29th and 30th in terms of yards per game and average carry per game. But the reason why I bring that up is hopefully that won't expose one of your huge weaknesses at the moment. But then again, the analogy I was going to use for the Rangers is, how many times have you seen a run-of-the-mill pitcher look like freaking Cy Young when he goes out there against the Rangers? And so that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that you're going to see what thus far has been a mediocre rushing attack go wild on the Cowboys.
Can I use a Mavericks example also?
Oh, yeah. We got to come up with a Stars one.
Remember, well, I don't have a Stars one, but
he scored with 0.2 seconds left.
The Mavericks, weren't they called season high one year? Because it would always be somebody's season high and somebody you hadn't heard of. You'd be like, oh my gosh, this guy had a season high again, or career high. So I'll go with that analogy as well.
So what I'm hearing from Corey is season high and 212 yards rushing given up. That's what I'm hearing.
Until they've proven to me that they fixed it, then I can't believe that it won't leak like this. Like, this is a ship that's in a bad situation, and they haven't shown they can fix it at all. A team embarrassed them 2 weeks ago, and they were like, "All right, well, we didn't have a better outing the next week." So there's no way I can believe that they've fixed it until somebody goes at them, much like with the Saints. They go play Philadelphia, now they look pedestrian.
Yep.
So, like, when I see it, then I'll believe the Cowboys can actually do it. What I do wonder, though, this is the thing that hasn't happened yet. Can the Cowboys have a couple of moments? Because, you know, it feels like Daniel Jones might want to throw, all right? So let's say you do get the ball to start, and you do score a touchdown to open. Then you get an interception, and you get another opportunity to put 3 points on the board. Now you're up 10-0. Does New York panic and say, we got to go away from the run to try and catch up with the Cowboys? That's what the Cowboys have been for the last few years.
Yeah.
They're a front-running team. They get out to leads.
They
suppress you with pass rush, and they suppress you with the ability to say, we're two touchdowns, two scores ahead of you right now. Good luck catching up to us.
Now, one thing I saw somebody bring up on the fan text, by the way, if you want to get involved in our conversation, Franklin Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053, or the Twitch or the YouTube. I'm trying to catch up on the YouTube, but it seems like it's been zigging and zagging between Romo, now Cooper Rush, Dak, and Joe Burrow have all been prominent names of discussion this morning. So I'm going to need to catch up on that. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott own the New York Giants. Like, you can just look at last year. They outscored the Giants 89-17. The Giants have lost to the Cowboys six straight times, and I think Dax beat them like 10 or 11 straight times.
Yeah, 7-1 since 2021 against the Giants. Dak Prescott's 10-5 in his career on Thursday night. Daniel Jones, 0-5.
I like those odds. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's power rank the NFL power rankings. Plus, what has Corey fuming this morning? Next on The Fan.
Allen back to pass, looking right, now over the middle, complete to Shakir, races away from the defender, 10-5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown. What a race to the end zone by Khalil Shakir, 27 yards to pay dirt.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot of stuff's going to transpire in this segment. Why is Corey upset? Also, power ranking the power rankings, and I need a ruling from Alec, Corey, maybe even Carter jumps in on this, and the Twitch, the YouTube, and the fan text. The 682. Hey, Kevin. Santos from Twitter here. So if the Cowboys do better than the Commanders, I'm buying the station food. I remember this text exchange, and he posted the receipt on Twitter last night. But then he said, if I'm right and they don't, what do I get? LOL. So my question for y'all is, Santos made this bet with nothing coming back in return. So obviously it's a no-brainer bet for me. There's nothing at stake on my side. You take that all day.
Yes.
But now he's realizing, wait a second, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Do we retroactively, because we want to be good to the Tolos and the Twolos, make something happen, as we're featured on ESPN right there. That's fun. Or do we say, too damn bad, because you want the Cowboys to be worse than the Commanders? I don't know if that's actually what they want to happen, but you know.
The first time I ever considered this was when our friend Sterling said if somebody didn't do something that he would shave his eyebrow. Not both eyebrows, just one eyebrow, I believe. And Kevin was like, why would you would get nothing if you lose this or if you win this. And so, yeah, Kevin, I think it's only fair to leave it the way that it is.
Oh, man.
However, because we are the show of the people.
True.
We'll let the people decide.
Okay.
We'll let the people decide if we should add something to it to spice it up or if we should just take his lunch money.
All right. Well, I don't know about that last part. All right, so feel free to weigh in on this and that and let us know. In the meantime, are you ready to power rank the NFL power rankings? I have four choices for you today.
All right.
ESPN, the USA Today, CBS Sports, and The Athletic.
Let's go with ESPN today,
okay,
Kevin.
Okay, ESPN. Alec, he picked that very quickly. Do you like that Corey picked ESPN?
Not really, no.
Oh.
Why?
Well, just for the record, what would you have picked?
I would have picked The Athletic.
Oh, we've got controversy.
Why?
All right, as always, we go to the worst in the NFL. Who? Man, this is tough this week because both the Giants and the Panthers won, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Who is the worst team in all of football?
Yeah, I guess if the Giants and Panthers do win, then there's got to be another one out there.
For the record, while you ponder, the Giants and ESPN are now 30th, and the Panthers are 31st.
Okay.
So they have both moved up to lead the way for one team to be worse.
Let me look at standings real quick. Oh. What the F are you doing?
Yes! The Tennessee Titans, and by the way, this is a genius text from the 817. With inflation, you pretty much got to add something for that guy. That's a good point. That's a good point. It's been a tough run for the economy.
Yeah.
So maybe we do need to add something. That is a very good point. The Tennessee Titans dropped from 29th to 32nd.
When did this come out again?
Today, this morning.
Oh, wow. Where are the Jaguars? Because I feel like they should be in that, like, right there next to the Titans.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are number 28 on the list.
Okay.
They fell from 24 to 28. So the bottom of the list goes Jags, Patriots, Giants, Panthers, and then the Titans. But I think you're right. You can make a very strong argument that the Jags are one of the worst five teams in the NFL. Quite frankly, I think you can make a strong argument the Bengals are one of the worst 10 teams in the NFL right now.
They're
25th on the list.
Okay, there you go.
Now, to the top of the list. Alec, there's a lot of pressure on you because Corey aced who's the worst team. So now you have to ace who's the best team.
Is it still the reigning, defending, undisputed Kansas City Chiefs?
It is. And the reason why I say that without enthusiasm in my voice is I do not believe that it should be. I believe that they should be second on this list. Kansas City is 3-0. They're the defending champs. I get that. Sometimes do they get those sweet, sweet calls down the stretch? Sure. I'm not going to argue against that either. It feels like every game they've been has been in an absolute battle. Or the team that's also 3-0 and just beat the brakes off the Jags last night.
But they also beat the brakes off the 0-3 Jags, who are 28th in the NFL.
It's true.
And they beat the brakes off the Dolphins, who were in a bad way.
Yeah, the Dolphins are spiraling now.
And they put lots of points on the board against the Cardinals, who we're still trying to figure out. So I agree with you, Kevin, that I think the Bills deserve the respect that they should get. But the Chiefs have done nothing to lose it so far. Currently, the Bills still have to continue keeping pace to earn it.
So the Buffalo Bills are second on the list. Where would you guys go from there, and where would you put the Cowboys?
Has to be Minnesota and Sam Darnold's right now.
Oh, Minnesota up to number 3 on the list from 11. By the way, all of the polls have Kansas City 1 and Buffalo 2, except for The Athletic, which has Buffalo 1 and Kansas City 2.
Why would you swap them out? Did they explain why?
Because they said the Bills kick ass.
All right.
No, actually, and it might be because of expectations. Like, we all thought the Bills were going to slide, and obviously the Chiefs are amazing. All right, the Vikings are third. Would you put the Cowboys fourth?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I definitely would.
You want to go with this one?
Ooh, number 4. That's tough. There's another undefeated team that Carter and I were talking about earlier today.
Is it a surprise undefeated team?
It's a surprise undefeated team, and nobody is talking about them.
Nobody is.
The Seattle Seahawks
are number 4 on the list, followed by Detroit. So I do appreciate with the Minnesota and Seattle picks up at the top that it does seem to be a true, like, what's happening in the moment. Does that mean that you think the NFC Championship game is going to be Seattle against Minnesota? Probably not.
Minnesota!
In this moment, they're both playing tremendously.
There is another undefeated team, though. Are they? Where'd you say Detroit was next?
Detroit's 5.
Okay.
So there's your top 5.
Is the other undefeated team up there, or is it because the quarterback is
in? That's up for you to decide. You're speaking, of course, about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
They have to be kind of offended because it goes like this. Number 1, undefeated. 2, undefeated. 3, 4, undefeated. Then you get the Lions. Then you get the Eagles. Then you get the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Who were probably in the 20s to start the season.
That probably so.
So this is a meteoric rise for them to be in the top 10.
They are now number 7,
okay,
with the rest of the top 10 being the Texans, 49ers, and Saints. So obviously the Cowboys
are middle of the pack.
Are not in the top 10. I don't think any of us would argue that they should
don't
be
deserve
in the top
it.
10. Yes. Okay, that's the way I feel as well.
They're a middle of the pack team. That's what they were this offseason, and that's what they are right now.
Which puts them, where would you put them?
15 hold on.
Technically 16 or 17.
16.
Would be the middle. All right, you got the Dallas Cowboys at 16. They are number 16 per ESPN. But check this out. They're also number 16 in The Athletic. They are also number 16 in CBS. So there seems to be some consensus there, except for USA Today, who says they're 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And USA Today noted they surrendered 72 points and nearly 900 yards the past 2 weeks, which is staggering. Perhaps the defense isn't all in. Ha, ha, Perhaps leaving Dallas, where the Cowboys have lost three in a row, will get them out of their current rut. So everybody else has them pretty much middle of the line, 16, 16, 16, and then USA Today says 21. With the way the Cowboys have played the last 2 weeks, it's tough to argue with the USA Today. I personally would probably have them more like 17, but I get it.
Yeah.
They've just been abysmal.
But they can be, again, Kevin, they would roll you into 16 on Thursday just by beating New York.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yep, still a middle of the pack team. They beat the bad teams.
And they lose to the good teams. I think that is very, very fair. Now, Corey, you were incensed this morning when I saw you.
I wasn't incensed.
Incensed. I was like, hey, Corey. And he goes, what the hell is that supposed to
mean? No, that's, well, I did. I said, what do you want? That's just.
He wanted a G-bag flag. And I was like, you have to wait till this
Everybody
weekend.
Wants a G-bag flag.
It's really cool.
Tour to DFW is on its way. This last night, my kid had a football game. And I'm always kind of trying not to be parent that's upset about or butthurt about his kid's team getting whooped. They got whooped last night. 55-6.
Oh, dear. That's
quarterback broke his collarbone. Two concussions. Carter sprained his wrist. And in the fourth quarter, they were already up 55-6. They were still blitzing. The opponent was still blitzing and blitzed on the final play of the game. And I was just like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, what's really being learned from this? You have the one really good player. He's the alpha on the field. He looks like a high schooler. And this is middle school football. What's really going on here? But, I mean, our team was bad. Their team was a lot better.
Yeah.
Why are you blitzing that late in the game in the entire fourth quarter when you're up that much? I don't know. Maybe you're just trying to get your work done, throughout the week.
All right. So I've experienced this once before, and I was like kind of upset about it, and I oddly respected it. Is my son Brandon? He played upward basketball, and in upward basketball, they like match you with these wristbands.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, you got a red wristband. You guard the kid who's got a red wristband. And so one of the teams we were playing against, you can't guard on the other side of the court. You can't start guarding until you get to midcourt because they were in, second grade. And so
let them bring the ball up the court, no press.
But the team we played against would press right at the half court line. Like, they didn't exactly have a wall, but they had like people waiting at the half court. And they beat us down. It was like 44-4 or something. I remember we had four because every time, well, I guess the two times our team scored a basket, we were like, let's go. And they kept doing that even into the fourth quarter. And I was like, dude, your team is far superior. You have proven that. We have a lot to work on. I don't think you need to press at half court anymore.
So yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, why are you blitzing? Somebody just said you play until the last whistles or till everyone's bones are broken. Look, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I did tell Carter as soon as I picked him up from the game after, go back to the school and pick him up. On the way home, I said, look, I've told you this before. And I'll tell you every time, football is a, and he said, tough man sport. It is. Like, I think the line, one of the guys that we saw at the Super Bowl this year, he said a great line, which is, football doesn't make tough players. Tough players play football.
Yeah.
Or tough men play football. And it's real. You sprain your wrist. You got to get back out there on the field. Tape it up and get back out there. Those are things that they learn over time. This is his first year. Most of these guys, probably their first year to ever play, except for that one kid that was very, very good on the other team last night.
You're ready to make an accusation that you thought perhaps some age manipulation.
Adrian looked at me and she goes, that kid, he took his helmet off. She goes, that kid's in high school. There's no way. And I was like, don't worry about it. Like, they got to learn somehow. But the best thing to do after you get your ass kicked like that, go back and do the work. It starts in the dirt, as Jason Witten once told us. You go back and do the work, and you look at it, and you go, don't ever let that happen again. And if you see them in the playoffs, you look forward to that moment because it's a challenge that you get to take on, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
Man, will you pick a team to root for in this playoffs?
Hell no.
We do it next in The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, It's time for some baseball buckets with Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Chuck Morgan. Only a few more of those left before we end this baseball season.
Can I ask a quick question about that?
Yes, for the last Bruce Bochy interview will be on Wednesday.
We'll see.
For this year.
Probably.
You know what? Maybe I try to reach out to him. Peace-a-thon.
Exactly. Are you sad, and all the folks listening right now, are you sad the baseball season is coming to an end this week, or knowing that the Rangers are eliminated, or you're like, regular season? Are you like, yeah, let's go ahead and finish it up?
I'm sad that the championship defense is done.
Okay.
And it's been done for a long time, but we only have a few more days. I guess we have until the World Series is won to say we still are.
You could certainly make that argument, and I would listen to that.
Squeezing every drop out of it. So we only have until then, but I'm very sad that the Rangers weren't better this year. And we'll get to more of that at noon today. The question I do have for you to start things off, go ahead and start texting these in. Hit them up on the Twitch and the YouTube as well. Do you have a team that you will root for in the playoffs? While you're thinking about that, Josh Jung is done for the season, Kevin.
Yeah.
And he is working on an offseason that will have him 100% for the 2025. That's the job he was going to probably put together here. We look back now, Kevin. He has been dogged by injuries since his entire career.
Yes.
78 games in 2021. 2022, sore shoulder. Or shoulder injury that he got while working out. He missed a month with a fractured hand last year and was questionable for opening day this year because of the calf injury. And then he gets in, breaks his hand, and now he has a surgically repaired hand that is also still sore, and he needs to be done with baseball for the year. What are your feelings on Josh Jung? Because I think without him in that dugout, that team didn't have a heart and soul.
I agree, and that is also, I guess, maybe kind of what makes me nervous, because your heart and soul is unfortunately injury prone. Like, I know some people feel differently about this, and they're like, oh, it's injury prone if it's like the same thing over and over. I feverishly disagree with that. You're injury prone if you get hurt and miss time. We love Josh Jung. I'm worried that for a variety of different reasons, the guy who might be the heart and soul of your team, or one of them, is frequently missing time. And I have no idea what to do about that.
Yeah, that's okay. So I've been thinking about that too. I think you just run with it as long as you can. I feel like whenever his Rangers contract is up, that it will be a situation where they're like, all right, because isn't Boris his agent? So if Boris is his agent, he's going to try and get everything that he can out of that. And that's going to be a very tough place to say, look, man, this guy's been injured. We know what he's capable of.
Look.
And they're going to be like, look, they were freak injuries. You can't really, I get it, but he's unlucky in health.
And if he's still suffering right now and needing to see specialists, then there is no point in keeping him up.
And I love his personality. I love I love that he collects cards. I love all those things. Like, all these things about him I really like. But, man, I need him to be healthy and make it through a season, and for pitchers to not throw at him. Or hitters to not hit him at him.
Fair.
So, pitchers, stop throwing in the direction of Josh Jung. Hitters, stop hitting in the direction of Josh Jung.
Oh, well, okay. That could be tougher to do.
Okay. Also, Kevin, I thought you might like to see this. Baseball is set to achieve its second consecutive year of rising attendance.
Ooh.
On the year, MLB games have drawn a total of 68 million fans, up 0.7% from last year. The first season after a number of rule changes were instituted, obviously. And this will be the first time MLB has had consecutive years of attendance gains since
the strike,
2011-2012.
Oh, when the Rangers were good.
So the back-to-back years of attendance, the Rangers win the World Series. The last time it happened, the Rangers were good enough to be in the World Series. If you want to have great attendance, Major League Baseball, make sure the Rangers are at their best. That is what I learned from these numbers.
Look,
last year, Kevin, before the rule changes, attendance was up approximately 10%, with 12% increase in weekday attendance and 7% increase in weekend games.
And that increase in the weekday attendance, I think you really got to give it up for the pace of play rules. Like, as much as I would, Corey, look, as much as I would love to tell you it's because the Rangers were in the hunt and that gets all of Major League Baseball fandom excited, I'll probably...
Well, how do you explain the 2011
That's a great point. I do not have a great counter for that right now. I definitely think that weekday attendance, you could look at pace of play as... I know it might seem like a small thing, but if you're going to the game at, like, let's just say 7, getting out at 9:30 versus getting out at 10 can be a really big deal for your work or for your kids going back to school or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, not everybody is a fan of finishing early, but sometimes, especially weeknights, it's good to be done quickly.
Yeah, you could take your time on the weekends.
Yeah, you got lots of time on the weekends. When all said and done, Kevin,
talking about baseball, right?
Major League Baseball is expected to have its highest attendance since 2017, again surpassing 70 million for the season and continuing its run as the most attended sports in the league in the world.
Which makes
by
sense
far,
just because like
the amount of games.
They have a much, much bigger set of inventory than anybody else.
But that, I mean, Mike's been kind of on this for a long time because people have been like, baseball's dead, baseball's dead, baseball's dead. Or dying.
Sure.
Does it look like it's dying right now? Do you feel that way?
I don't feel that way at all. I know people will argue, like, here's what I think is a better argument. Baseball is not dying, but really struggling on the national level.
Okay. Because they don't do a good job. Like, on your local level, you're pretty passionate about your team, but you're not watching the game the way that people watch the NFL.
And it's just part of the reason is it's tough. When, like, Mike Trout was your face, but he didn't want to be the face. Like, he didn't want to go out and talk and everything like that. Shohei Ohtani, obviously, there's a process. You've seen him in his commercials and everything like that. He does not, at least in the commercials, he has not been speaking the most English, and we still have seen a lot of stuff with his translator. So I don't know if that makes him less apt to want to go out and be the face, or if that makes Major League Baseball less apt to want to push him out there when he's clearly... the dude who is running baseball right now. So that probably makes it harder for them to market.
I'm glad you mentioned Shohei Ohtani. And I feel like there's an oversaturation of him, but he forces that.
Of course.
Yeah. However, and this can go along with the question of, will you pick another team to watch and root for during the playoffs? I like this from Andy McCullough. There's a piece on the New York Times that he wrote about Shohei Ohtani. And this is the line that I love seeing so much. Shohei Ohtani has waited his entire life essentially to be in the Major League postseason. After a year of heroics and historic moments, he's about to enter the October Crucible for the first time. That's brilliant. I mean, I love that summary deck right there. But yes, he has single-handedly propped up the game of baseball by saying, look at how awesome I am, and he finally gets to be in the playoffs where Mike Trout spent most of his career not being able to be there. Just like you were discussing, your superstar is in the biggest games right now.
So I can't tell you that I really give a damn about whether the Dodgers win, but I want to see Shohei Ohtani do amazing things in the playoffs. Like, if they lose in the World Series, whatever. I would like to see him hit like 3 home runs in a World Series. And you're like, it's Shohei's Major League Baseball. We're just all getting to watch it. Like, I want to see him do something amazing. Where he'll probably have a game where he'll double up home runs and stolen bases. And he'll be like, yeah, that's what he did all year. Like, I want to see that. I don't care if the Dodgers win, but I want to see him look awesome in all of this.
And then lastly, in that conversation of will you pick a team? In the wild card right now, Kevin, there are, in the American League, 7 teams all vying for it. Tampa's 4 games out. Boston's 3.5. But that means 5 teams are within a game of the wild card. And in the National League, there are 4 teams within a game and a half of the wild card.
And about a month ago, it did not look like it was going to play out like this.
Yeah, and I know Kansas City Royals are on a 7-game losing streak and 2-8 in their last 10.
Are you getting nervous?
Baltimore's 3-7 in their last 10, and the Tigers are now making a push, 7-3, 1-2 straight.
Who would have thought when we made that trade with the Tigers that he'd be like, hey, you're coming to a contending team, but in reality, you're going to a not contending team, and maybe your original team is going to make the playoffs.
So I think I have to stick with until they're finalized and out. I got to stick with the Royals. I will be rooting for the Royals, and we'll probably redo this whenever it's all finalized. Sure. But I am still pulling for the Royals to do this because I want to see Kevin with the skullet. Ugh. Although I don't mind the idea of having to wear a mullet for how long did we say? A month?
Oh, I don't remember.
As long, because it's going to take time for me to grow this out. So we'll have to figure out how to do that.
And that is why I do not want the Kansas City Royals to win the World Series. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.